Welcome in to 1 Hour School Life, the official Pin Oak Sports Podcast. Here's your host, Mr. Mertz.
Our sponsor for today is Helium 3, comprised in a bottle and mined from the moon. Helium 3 is a substance that is used as a stimulant to be able to recuperate your body to make it heal even faster. This barely illegal substance is extremely useful for people who need immediate medical attention. Buy your Helium 3 now before it becomes illegal and the cops will start looking for you.
Hey everyone, this is Team Talk, and we're with our hosts,
Asher,
Gabe,
Quinn,
and Marcus. And on this podcast, we'll be talking about mainly football and soccer, so stay tuned. Thank you.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this week's episode of Team Talk. This week, we're going to be talking about the Astros versus Braves. This game happened as we are recording this. This is the most recent game that the Astros played. It was April 17th. It was like Wednesday, last Wednesday.
Oh, Decker, give it back.
And then the Astros, they ended up losing 4-5. Pretty close game here. But yeah, why don't we go ahead and get right into the main story, shall we?
Hard.
Start off the game.
There's no one over there.
The Braves are at bat to start off.
I threw it.
JP France, he strikes out Olsen, and then Alvarez hits a solo home run to kick it off for the Astros. Then in the second inning, I'm not sure which part, it was Ozuna on the Braves, ends up hitting a solo home run of his own to tie up the game. Another big play for the Braves was Acuña Jr.'s first homer of the season that put them in the lead in the top of the fifth. In the bottom of the fifth inning, Bregman answering for the Astros with an RBI single, tying it up. And then Kyle Tucker hitting an RBI double, putting the Astros up 3-2. The glory was short-lived as Yandier Diaz struck out. Yet in the sixth inning, Duvon, he hits a solo homer, adding to the lead. Like I said, the glory is short-lived. Austin Riley, he had a double to center field, and then the Braves score off of an error. Then ties up the game. And then Orlando Arcia, he then hits a single. And just like that, the Braves are up 5-4. And there's a game-ending double play that seals the game. The Astros, they need these wins. I mean, they're like, at the time of like recording this, they were like fifth in the West. And we all want to see them go big and have another good playoff run, so they can win the World Series and we cannot go to school on a random day in October. So hopefully they can win like here and there and not be trash. The next Astros game, it's far past April 19th, but at the time of recording this, the next Astros game was April 19th at 5 p.m. against the Washington Nationals. We're going to have to see how they do there. It's only a matter of time before these wins are crucial. So they definitely need to step it up. Hello, everyone. Do the stats, Quinn. Quinn's doing the stats.
All right, we got Jose Altuve. He had four at-bats. He had no home runs. Jordan Alvarez, he had one home run, five at-bats. Alex Bregman had two at-bats, no home runs. Yuri Diaz, five at-bats, nothing. Junior Peña, five, nothing. Ryan Cruz, nothing. Four at-bats. Jose Abreu, two. Oh, wait. Never mind. Our center fielder got one home run with that four at-bats. Jose Abreu got two at-bats, nothing.
My name.
John, and then Victor.
King
four at-bats, and then one at-bat. And that's going to be it for Astros. And now we go to the Braves. We have Ronald Acuña Jr. He had five at-bats and one home run. And he, Matt
yeah, that was
Usman
like his first home run
got,
of the season.
Got one RBI. Achille Unza got one RBI. Arnold Acuña, the shortstop, got two RBIs. Marcell Ozeana got one home run. And that's it for all the runs, and that's going to be the stats for the
That's all that we have for this week's episode. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
My name is Nana, and today I'm going to be reminding you to get past Ms. Corso, our school librarian, to the library during lunch. Ms. Corso hands out passes at lunchtime, so make sure to look out for her during lunch. Remember to find Ms. Corso during lunch to get passes to the library. This is Nana. Thanks so much for listening.
Hey guys, this is Nana,
Rodis,
and Chloe,
and this is one of our new segments called The History of Sports, where we are going to be talking about the history of certain sports and sports teams, such as the Lakers,
Philadelphia Eagles,
the Rockies,
and many other teams. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Hi, I'm Nana, and this week we're going to be talking about the history of the Panthers and the Bears. Let's get into the background information. The Panthers played their first game in 1995 when they joined the Jacksonville Jaguars as the NFL's first expansion teams since 1976. Carolina became the most successful expansion franchise in league history when it won 7 of its 16 games in its inaugural season. The team further exceeded expectations the following year by winning 12 games, qualifying for the postseason, and advancing to the NFC Championship game, in which it lost to the year's eventual Super Bowl championship, the Green Bay Packers. The Panthers were not able to capitalize on their startling early run, however, and they posted losing records in 5 of the next 6 years, including a disastrous 1-win season in 2001 that led to the hiring of new team management and head coach John Fox. Carolina's new leadership made a series of player acquisitions that quickly rebuilt the team into a contender. The Panthers drafted wide receiver Steve Smith and defensive tackle Chris Jenkins in 2001, and in 2002 they chose defensive end Julius Peppers with the draft's 2nd overall selection. In addition, the Panthers signed quarterback Jake Delhomme before the 2003 season, and the team's revamped core led Carolina to an 11-5 record and a divisional championship the following season. Chloe, you want to go ahead and say the why it matters and the what's next for the Panthers?
Why it matters. The Carolina Panthers represent both North Carolina and South Carolina. Their field is in Charlotte, North Carolina, but the Panthers have training facilities in South Carolina. What's next? The Panthers 2024-2025 home state features exciting matchups against the Cowboys, Chargers, Chiefs, Giants, Cardinals, Bengals, and our NFC South rivals.
All right, Rodis, you want to go ahead and say the background information and the main story for the Bears?
The Chicago Bears are a professional American football team based in Chicago.
The Bears compete in the National Football League, NFL, as a member club of the league's National Football Conference, NFC, North Division. The Bears have won 9 NFL championships, including 1 Super Bowl XX in 1986, and hold the NFL record for the most in series. In the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and the most retired jersey numbers. The Bears have also recorded the second most victories of any NFL franchises, only behind the Green Bay Packers, who they have a long-standing rivalry with. The franchise was founded in Decatur, Illinois on September 20, 1919, became professional on September 17, 1920, and moved to Chicago in 1921. It is one of the only two remaining franchises from the NFL's founding in 1920, along with the Arizona Cardinals, which was originally also in Chicago. The team played home games at Wrigley Field on Chicago's north side through the 1970 season. They now play at Soldier Field on the south side, adjacent to Lake Michigan.
Okay, I'm going to talk about the Panthers now. This matters because it's like cool to learn about your favorite team's history, your favorite sports team's history, whether it's football, baseball, soccer, anything. It's really cool. Next, I think the Panthers are going to like continue to get better and better, and they're going to like just be a better team all together. And then I'm just gonna say some of my main story. In 2010, the Panthers posted a 2-14 record, and Fox was fired. That was their coach. The disastrous season did produce one very positive outcome by virtue of recording the league's worst record. The team had the top overall draft pick in the 2011 NFL draft. That's gonna be it for today, so we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Do you want food to deliver to you right now without all the extra fees? Then you need to get the Foods app. Foods is an app that works with local restaurants to help you get the cheapest prices for delivery. The only prices included if you order with Foods will be the price of your meal and tax. That's right, no service fee. Foods is a complete nonprofit app that does not make money from its users. You might be thinking, this is too good to be true. Nope, it's completely free. The way we make money is with ad sponsors getting ads on our app. So come now, download Foods in the App Store or Google Play Store, and come get some free food delivered.
Hey guys, welcome to Straight to the Bat. This is Rithi, McCall, Jeremiah, and Jacob. We're going to be talking about baseball. Let's get straight into it.
Hey guys, so today we're going to be talking about the Astros game on Monday against the Braves. Let's get straight into it. So the Astros won their first series against the Rangers, winning 2 out of 3 of the games. Their bats were working great and the pitching was finally coming together. This was their first game against the Braves. The Braves did face the Astros in the 2021 World Series. The Astros did lose to them, but the Astros are still looking for their first sweep of the new season, but things aren't working in their favor. The pitcher for the game was Spencer Arrighetti. Arrighetti made his MLB debut about a week ago, and he did pretty decent, but we had lost last time. This was his second start. He started off pretty good, getting all 3 outs. In the first, Bregman hit an RBI single to score Tucker. Going into the second, we were leading 1-0. With runners at first and second, Pena made a great play trying to get the runner at first base, but the throw was off, which allowed one run to score to tie the game. Then it was bases loaded with 2 outs, and Albies got hit by pitch to walk in a run. Now it was 2-1. Then the Astros were batting. Diaz came up and grounded into a double play, but he knew that he was safe, and he told the Astros dugout to challenge the call. They did, and he was safe. He didn't end up scoring, but the score was 3-1 now. The Astros bullpen definitely did not help us get the win either. They first put in Brian Abreu, who did pretty good, and then they put out Josh Hader to close out the game. He allowed many singles, and they changed the pitcher to Belak. Belak did the same. The final score was 6, meaning they scored 3 in the ninth. The Astros should have taken this game if only they could have had put in like better relievers at the right time. Maybe they can take the next two games. This was the Astros' first game playing the Braves this season. It also made our losses double our wins in our record. Bregman also came back from an illness and he played great today. He had a hit. Maybe we'll be able to take the series, but not a sweep this time. Maybe against the Nationals, it'll be easy to be easier to maybe have a few blowout games. The next few steps for the Astros is to mainly work on their pitching. Their hitting is getting better every game, but the pitching definitely needs to get better in order for our record to go up. Currently, we're in last place, and I think we need to at least get to fourth in order to kind of move our way up. The relievers need to be put in at the right time. I think Espada needs to put in Presley in some games as well and not use Josh Hader for games that we don't need him. Josh Hader is one of our best relievers, so we need to save him for the times that we need him out there to get all three outs.
I think the Astros need a few games against some Eastern teams, and just get a few blowouts of games so we can maybe get our record up. They need to pass the Athletic, which will be easy if they can win the next few games.
All right, so this is the end of our podcast for today. Overall, I think the Astros could have taken the win, but the pitching in the ninth inning just gave it up, and we just need to get better at maybe having a lead so then we can put in relievers like Josh Hader and Ryan Presley to kind of close it up for us. So thanks for listening to this week's segment. We are your hosts, Rithi, Jeremiah, Jacob, and McCall, and we'll see you next time on Straight to the Bat.
Hello, this is Noah.
My company features many cool things, such as we give free bananas to anyone with the name Jacob, or Sam, or Brodus, and even Micah. They love our bananas. Our bananas are at every store in the world. They're everywhere. Prices for the bananas are 50 cents per banana.
We have a deal, so if you buy a pack of 4, instead of it being $2 to $1.50, we made a coupon for all those bananas. It's kind of a deal.
I'm Tyler, and you're listening to Big Country Podcast. We are your hosts, Tyler,
Jonathan,
James,
Noah.
Oh, what is up, my daily podcasters? Hello, this is Noah, and today I'm going to be talking about the Rockets versus Clippers. This was such a fun and exciting game to watch. I really enjoyed watching it. Great players in this game. First, we have Jalen Green for the Rockets. He was doing very good in this game. He had 13 points. He was doing very, very well for the Rockets. He was getting a lot of rebounds and going and very good throughout the entire game. Next, for the Rockets, we have Cam Whitmore. Ooh, he had 21 points. He was doing so good throughout the entire game for the Rockets and getting a lot of rebounds, and the Clippers couldn't guard him. He was too shifty. Next for the Clippers, we have Terrence Mann. He had 24 points. He was doing very well, very good for the Clippers. He was getting a bunch of rebounds, but all of his hard work wasn't enough for the win. He had a great game, though. Lastly, for the Clippers, we have Xavier Moon. He had 14 points. He was also doing very well. It was also one of his best games yet. But sadly, all of the Clippers' hard work wasn't enough for them to win the game. They did great, though, all the players in the Clippers. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I feel like next time they should put their good players in and not lose against the Rockets. Thanks for listening to the podcast. The final score of the game was 116 to 105. The Rockets won the run. They were doing good the entire game, keeping a good lead. Thanks for listening to the podcast, guys.
Hello, everyone. My name is James, and today I'll be talking about the Golden State Warriors versus the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz was ranked 31 and 51 before this, and the Warriors were ranked 46 to 36. Golden State Warriors made at least 23 pointers against the Jazz for the second time in 4 days after going 20 to 41 in the premiere. The Warriors overcame 13 turnovers that led to 29 Utah points. Sexton led the Jazz with 35 points and 9 assists. The rookie Keaton George added a career-high 33 points. Keontae George added a career-high 33 points, while making also another career-high 9 three-pointers. Lauri Markkanen finished with 20 points. John Collins tailed with 18. They had 13 rebounds apiece. Utah and the Golden State Warriors had a combined 29 three-pointers in the first half alone. The Warriors went 15-26 with three-pointers, while the Jazz had 14-28 with three-pointers. The Warriors will remain in 10th place in the Western Conference. They will be playing a road game against the Kings. Klay Thompson scored 25 points with 6 three-pointers. Andrew Wiggins added 19 points, and the Golden State Warriors beat the Utah Jazz 123-116.
Hello. Today I'm going to be talking about the Astros. The Astros have been on a losing streak, and this game just basically demonstrates what's been happening to them. The Braves and Astros played in 2021 with the Braves winning Game 6 of the World Series and winning it all. This game got off to a good start for the Astros. They scored 4 runs in the first 3 innings. Then their pitching pretty much sold the entire game. Gave up 5 runs, being capped off with Ronald Acuna Jr., I believe, 2-run homer. The Astros want to make it back to the World Series. They really need to turn things around. I would say try and pick up some players before the trade deadline. And yeah, the Astros might end up having a losing season this year, considering they're at the bottom of their bracket. But time will tell. And so in conclusion, the Astros really need to step up their game. But the Braves are on a hot streak, and they need to stay on it.
Hello, my name is Jonathan, and I'll be talking about the Orioles versus Brewers game that happened on Sunday, April 14th. Wilson Contreras hit a leadoff home run against old Brewers ace Corbin Burns to start the game. Rhys Hoskins followed it up by hitting a long fly ball that hit the wall in Camden Yards for a double. Burns set down 3 straight to get out of the inning with only 1 run. Ryan O'Hearn would drive in Gunnar Henderson in the first on an RBI single for the Orioles after Gunnar Henderson got hit by a pitch. Cedric Mullins got all of the ball in the bottom of the second to gain the lead 2-1 for the Orioles. The Brewers answered back as Blake Perkins stole home plate after a wild pitch. Ryan O'Hearn would then answer back with a solo shot in the bottom of the third to bring back the lead 3-2 Orioles. With 2-1 and no out in the top of the fourth, the Brewers' Bryce Turan laid down a bunt, and Corbin Burns, the Orioles pitcher, threw the ball away. This tied the game at 3. In the top of the seventh, Blake Perkins hit a solo shot for the Brewers to take a 4-3 lead. The Orioles went on a run in the bottom half of the seventh after Gunnar Henderson hit an RBI single, and Adley Rutschman hit into an RBI ground post double bump. In the bottom of the eighth, Colton Cowser hit a solo shot, and the Orioles went up 6-0. Craig Kimbrell came in for the save, and the Orioles won 6-4. It was a great game. It was back and forth. Top performers, Blake Perkins of the respected Brewers went 3-4 with a RBI and a home run, scored 2. For the Brewers, Colvin Rea got the start, went 5 2/3, 5 hits, 3 earned, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. For the Orioles, top performer, say Ryan O'Hearn had 2 hits, 1 being a home run, 2 RBI. Cedric Mullins had 2 hits, 1 home run, 1 RBI. Corbin Burns went 5, gave up 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, but had 5 strikeouts. It was a great game. Interesting to see Corbin Burns pitching against his old team. And top prospect in the MLB, Jackson Holliday, his first MLB hit. All right, that'll be all for the podcast this week. Goodbye.
Ever wanted to beat your friend in a race, but you're just too slow? Introducing Radicola. This is proven to make you almost twice as fast as you were ever before, physically, mentally, and even improves your gaming skills. Buy now for only $11.99 a pack in your local Walmart. Disclaimer, Radicola will make you feel more pain if you get hurt during the effects of Radicola. Drink in a safe area. What can I say? Radicola is just so rad.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another banger of a Santiago podcast. And today we'll be talking about the Los Angeles Lakers versus the New Orleans Pelicans. All right. Los Angeles Lakers, they won this game 110-106. The Los Angeles Lakers have officially earned a spot for the 7th seed, while the Pelicans, they got to play one more game to have a chance in the playoffs, making them the 8th seed. Some of the star players this game was my king, LeBron James, with 9 rebounds, 9 assists, and 23 points. We got Rui Hachimura with 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 13 points. And we got Anthony Davis with 15 rebounds, 0 assists, and 20 points. And we got D'Angelo Russell, probably the most washed player. I remember when he used to play for the Brooklyn Nets. He has that ice in his veins. Now he's just terrible. He got 0 rebounds, 6 assists, and 21 points, which is pretty mid. And then we got Austin Reeves with 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 16 points. And then our next person I did all right was Gabe Vincent with 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 9 points. And now the Pelican players, we got Zion Williamson. Feel really bad for him this game. He dropped 11 rebounds, 5 assists, and 40 points. That's why Zion Williamson Like, if you watch them during a high sky, the high school highlights, you probably look those up. That's what he played like. Like, he didn't play, he played like he was 250 pounds. Now he's like 315. But he's playing like he was 250, which is really impressive for Zion Williamson because of his weight and all of that. All right, now we got Brandon Ingram. He got 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 11 points. We got Herb Jones with 0 rebounds, 0 assists, and 10 points. Seiji McCollum with 3 rebounds, 6 assists, and 9 points. We got Trey Murphy III with 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 12 points. We got Larry Nance Jr., number 1 rebounder for this game, with 12 rebounds, 5 assists, and 10 points. And then Jose Alvarado with 2 rebounds, 7 assists, and 10 points. Some of the game stats were Lakers made 35 out of 84 shots, which put them at a 41.7 field goal percentage. And the Pelicans went 43 for 93 with their field goal percentage of 46.2. The Lakers were 14 for 35 from the three, while the Pelicans were 9 for 30. Their three-point percentage, the Lakers were 40%, and the Pelicans were 30%. The Lakers made 26 out of their 29 free throws, while the Pelicans made 11 out of their 15 free throws. The Lakers' free throw percentage was 89.7. while the Pelicans were 73.3. So that'll wrap it up for this week's podcast. And I hope you guys enjoyed us talking about the Lakers versus the Pelicans.
Hello, we are the Podcasters. I'm Brayden.
I'm Aaron.
I'm David Fernandez.
I'm Charles.
What's up, gamers? Let me tell you about a brand new product called the Klopp. What? You do not know what the Klopp is? It's the best gaming console in the world. It is speeds of life, and the graphics are basically like you are in real life. It has infinite storage, even as Fork Knife and Shout of Cooties. You better be playing on this, and if you're not, I don't know what's wrong with you. So do it right now.
Hello, I'm Brayden.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Charles.
I'm David.
And today we're going to be talking about baseball, basketball, and soccer. David will go first, talking about soccer. Real Madrid versus Manchester City in the quarterfinals of the UCL.
I'm David, and today I'll be talking about soccer for the first time. All I got to say is this was one of the best games of soccer I've ever watched. Not only because I'm from Spain, Madrid, but also because it was just an outstanding effort coming from both teams. It really sucks that an amazing game like that had to come to an end with penalty kicks, but I mean, at least Real Madrid won. An amazing shot by Antonio Rodriguez, for the game-winning penalty kick. I had just arrived from school and was watching this as it happened, and this was my first time covering soccer. Next time I might talk about football or baseball maybe.
All right, now I'll be talking about baseball and the Astros' early season struggles. I'll be talking about their series against the Rangers. The Astros have been really bad to start off the season, but the Rangers are in first in the division. The first game, the Rangers went up 12-3, but then the Astros started to rally back and made it 12-8 with great hits from the bottom of the order. And Kyle Tucker had 2 home runs. But they could not muster up anything else and lost 12-8 in a heartbreaking ninth inning. But the next day, Ronel Blanco is pitching, one of the best pitchers to start the season, recently throwing a no-hitter against the Blue Jays and going 6 innings, only allowing 1 hit against the Rangers. He started off bad, but then he locked in, and then the Astros won. Then in the next game, the Astros also won and won the series against the Rangers. Now the Astros will have to play the Braves in a 3-game series. We'll see what happens. In the first game, the Braves won, sadly. The second game, it was 2-0 going into the ninth inning when they called up Forrest Whitley. Forrest Whitley did not pitch that great and gave up 2 runs. The Braves won 6-0. Then finally, in the next game, the Astros went up 4-3 in the ninth inning, brought in Josh Hader to close it out. They could not close it out. The Braves scored a run, and then in the 10th inning, they scored another run, and the Astros had runners on first and second, but then Jeremy Pena grounded into a double play. The Braves swept the Astros. The Astros will now have a long road trip and play the Nationals, Rockies, and Cubs. All right. Now we're going to be switching to Aaron to talk about basketball.
Hello. My name is Aaron, and today we're going to be talking about the NBA play-in predictions. The 2023 to 2024 NBA season has just finished, so we are now going to the playoffs. First, we have to watch the play-in tournament. Last week, the Pelicans went up against the Lakers. I personally thought that the Lakers were going to win, which they did. Before the season ended, they won a bunch of games. But don't leave out the Pelicans. They also had an amazing season with Zion, Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, and many others. Even though I think that the Lakers are going to win, which they did, I still think that the Pelicans put up a good fight. And Zion dropped 40 points that game. And then the next play-in game that happened was the Warriors versus the Kings. I'm not surprised that the Warriors lost because they have been pretty bad this season. And Klay's washed. He went 0-10 on field goal attempts. That's pretty bad. So, yeah. And then surprisingly, Draymond didn't get ejected. Hopefully, we see them do better next season because it was pretty bad. But good luck to all those teams and players. But they're still going to need luck because if they make the playoffs, they're going to need to face tougher teams. And then the Heat were going up against the Sixers. The Sixers won. And then the Hawks would go up against the Bulls. The Hawks won. I mean, the Bulls won. And then the Celtics could potentially win the playoff series after failing to make the finals last year and losing to the Warriors in the finals the year before. Anything can happen in the playoffs, so let's just wait and see what happens.
This is the Podcasters. Thank you for listening. See you next time.
Hey guys, it's Decker. And I would just like to remind you to do Mr. Merch's homework. He gives it out almost every day, and it's important that you do it and turn it in on time. It is worth 10% of your grade, and it can really help you out. Thanks.
Hello, y'all. Welcome back to Hoops with Hooligans with your hosts, Langston Harris, Bennett Woolsey, Decker Bumgardner, and Finn Guerra.
Hey, today we're going to talk about the top linebacker in this 2024 draft class. This is Peyton Wilson. He's 6'4", 250 pounds, a bit oversized. On the bigger side of linebackers, I'd usually have a 6'1", 6-foot linebacker, about 200 pounds. But, you know, he oversized isn't bad. Like in the day, and he's a pass rush first linebacker, so he's not left on a pole. So he's not left on an island by himself. So he's good, but we have seen in his stats that he can't cover. Speaking of stats, it's because of us. He's been in NC State since 2019. It's the second senior season he just wrapped up. 138 total tackles, perfect 69-69 split from solo and assist tackles. He had six sacks with three interceptions, sorry. So, you know, he still can cover a little bit at least. And despite being the ACC, he had tough opponents. UNC, Florida State, UMiami. You know, he had competition to go against.
Hey, I'm going to be talking about the top three Texans moves, starting off with Stephon Diggs, who had an electric season last year and is going to be a great addition to this Texans wide receiver room with Tank Dell and Nico Collins behind C.J. Stroud. His last year stats was 107 receptions, 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns, and about 11 receptions, 11 yards each reception. So really electric of him last year. He's going to be a great addition. Second one, Danielle Hunter. This man had an electric season last year. He's going to be a great linebacker for us and a great addition to the defense with his 16.5 sacks last year, combined of 83 tackles, 4 forced fumbles, and he's going to get us some turnovers. He's going to get us sacks. He's going to be that player that we need at linebacker. Great player. I mean, this could be one of the best pickups we've had, one of the best free agents we've had. Third, we're going to go Joe Mixon in the backfield. This offense, I feel like, is just going to be electric. C.J. Stroud leading the pack. C.J. Stroud leading the offense. Stephon Diggs. Joe Mixon in the backfield. Like, dude, that's an all-star team right there. Joe Mixon had, I believe, about 1,000 yards, 257 attempts, and 52 receptions with 9 touchdowns. This is just because I believe he had an injury in the first 2 weeks. So, and those are my top three free agency moves for the Texans, all great additions. Moving on to Decker.
All right, so I'm going to be talking about the top five players that are most likely to go into NFL from college football. All right, so my first one is Quinn Ewers from Texas. He's a QB, and he was already one of the top QBs when he came in. He was incredible, and he still is. He's done with a couple injuries this two seasons as a starter. But when he's healthy, he's displayed plenty of talent that made him an enticing prospect and helped get the Longhorns to the college football playoff. He's definitely showed improvement. And if he shows improvement with the new weapons in the SEC next season, he has a chance to be taken first overall. My second would be Cam Ward, who is a QB from Miami. Ward nearly declared for the draft this year, but was lured to Miami, where he'll have a chance to improve his stock for the Hurricanes to compete for an ACC title. Ward's been inconsistent at times, but has had a strong season in Washington. He has the ability to make something out of nothing that few others possess. So my third would be the Trevaion Henderson, who's the running back from Ohio State. Henderson was on this list last year, but much like the 2022 season, he dealt with injuries that kept him out of games. He still averaged nearly 6 yards per carry, a featured player, and was one of the best offenses to watch. Plus, while running back is not a highly coveted position in the draft, few backs in the country Luther Burden, who's a wide receiver from Missouri, ranked one of the top players in the 2022 QB class. And after a slow start as a freshman with Missouri, he blew up in 2023. He caught 86 passes for 1,212 yards, helped lead the Tigers to a Cotton Bowl. He's a nightmare for any defender out of the slot, can even be on track for an even bigger season in 2024. My next one would be Evan Stewart, who's a wide receiver from Oregon. Like Burton, Stewart was one of the top receivers in the 2022 class. Unlike Burton, Stewart performed slightly better as a freshman than in the sophomore season.
Evan Stewart was actually from A&M and he went to Oregon. So.
Yeah, you're right. Still, most of that could likely be attributed to circumstances beyond Stewart's control. He's since transferred to Oregon.
From A&M. Yep, sorry.
All right. What he's seen as a replacement for Troy Franklin in the Ducks offense. If Stewart puts together a big year in Golden Green, he can play his way into the first round.
Yep.
So those also, are my top fits.
A&M. Just let everyone know.
Bye. guys. My name is Muhammad Ahmad, and today I'll be talking about Bayer Leverkusen versus Werder Bremen. This is a very, very fun game to watch. Anyways, let's get on to the game. So, for context, this was Bayer Leverkusen's 20th Bundesliga match this season. They were bound to win after an unbeaten so far record. I thought this game wasn't that important until I realized what it meant for Bayer Leverkusen. So, this game kicks off, and Werder have the ball. They seem to have a strong start with a corner, which is now headed out by Jor, which is Bayer Leverkusen's center back. When Bayer Leverkusen, which I'm not going to refer to 04 for the rest of the podcast, because their full team name is Bayer Leverkusen 04, as they found the 19th 04, get the ball, they drive upwards and try scoring, but it's safe. 25 minutes later, someone gets fouled in Werder's box. It's a no-hesitation penalty and a red card. Victor Boniface takes it, and he's finally back from injury. He steps up and he scores. So the next goal was scored by Granit Xhaka. It's a volley after a mismatched corner. And so the next goals, I think, were all scored in the second half. And they were actually a hat-trick by an under-21 player. I think it's 21, but yeah. So four in words. He scored in the 68, which it was like a dribble and finish. 83rd, it was a tap-in. And the 90th minute, which was like just another like regular goal. And so after the 83rd minute, the fans broke down the stands and they rushed to Werder's boat. The security held them back. And so this was a 5-0 victory for 04. So this was an important game as it meant Leverkusen won the league, even though the league wasn't finished. This is just insane as an 04 fan myself. Since 2022, I didn't think we would win the league, but I was hyped when we qualified for the Europa League, and now this season we're definitely winning it. In the future, 04 will play in the Champions League, which I hope half of their players don't leave, especially Frimpong, Wirtz, Grimaldo, and Hayshaka. It'll also be nice to have a big budget for winning the league so we can improve our striker spot and goalkeeper. Not saying Boniface isn't a good option, but maybe like a 4-2-4, two strikers up top. And so, in the end, Leverkusen won 5-0, and Florian Wirtz got his first professional hat-trick, which I'm happy about, as I believe he has more potential than Musiala. He's better at dribbling, passing, playmaking, defense, shooting, everything's better at. Musiala's like just more like the ball 6 feet more often, so. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed my game review, and I'll be passing the mic on to Ian Nigley.
Hello, and welcome back to the Thuggin' It Out podcast with your host, Ian. On today's episode, I will be ranting about the Astros and how I will never lose hope, but I'm disappointed. My Astros, my sweet, glorious, beloved Astros, I've been defending you since the 2013-2014 season, in which y'all were the worst team in the MLB. I was there. Even if I was too young to fully remember, I can still decipher the smells of the ballpark, dark with loss and sorrow because of y'all sorry selves. This season, I was expecting big things, as I have since 2017, possibly a championship. But on opening day, things felt different. I didn't feel all the preparation for a great season. What I thought proved right, growing out and losing opening day, like some bums, and then losing the game after that, and then four more losses. This was utter embarrassment for them and me, considering I am one of the fans. The Astros wins that did come to them were barely squeaked out, and I think we've only had about three or four real wins, but luckily we have six overall. We're last in the division. We've been swept three times, and I'm starting to hit the panic button. I don't know what's up with Jose Abreu, but he's sucked, and pitching all around is atrocious. Players aren't performing, and I'm frustrated. Pick it up. As you could tell by my dismay, I'm disappointed in my team, but I still love them. So we just need to get back on track and show the MLB who the Houston Astros really are. This was your host, Ian, and remember that this is the Thuggin' It Out podcast.
It's halftime now, and as the halftime host, I will try to give you all the spicy gossip in my class. At the time of me writing this, there isn't really anything. Ian. I'm not talking right now, Ian.
That wasn't me. That was actually Muhammad Ahmad.
Yeah, you just heard him. As I was saying, I will say all the spicy gossip in my class. But at the time of me writing this, there isn't anything to talk about. except for the stuff that we had on Friday. Everyone was so quiet, right, guys?
Right.
On Friday, everyone was so quiet and calm. The day of us doing this podcast, Noah was making his podcast. Well, he was at least in the hallways, and we all heard him. He was like, what was he saying in the hallway? Noah, you know how like he was like really loud that Mr. Merce had to walk out.
Was it get up? Was
it? Get.
I think so.
Noah was just screaming in the hallway. Noah White. Yeah, hold on. I won't stop. It matters because or must be quiet with the sub because Mr. Merce won't be as mad at us. Yeah. Everyone was quiet. I like nice and quiet. And that's the end of that. Bye.
Hello, this is Rylan. And today I'm going to talk about the Houston Rockets final stats of the season. As you know, the Rockets just missed the playoffs, having an equal 41-41 record. If they were just good in the beginning in the season, they might have had a chance in the playoffs. Because in the starting of March, they popped off. They had the most wins in March and had a 13 winning streak. But now I'm gonna talk about the final stats of the season. The most average points by the Rockets was Alperen Sengun with 21.1 points. He also had the most average rebounds with 9.3. Fred VanVleet led the most assists with 8.1. He also had the most average blocks, surprisingly, because he's like one of the shortest people on the team with a 0.8 blocking stat. He also had the most minutes and steals with an average of 1.4 steals and an average of 36.8 minutes. That's crazy. It matters because without these stats, we won't be knowing who led the team and he's not like the most, the best player. But in my opinion, the best player in the Rockets right now is Jalen Green. He's just super fun to watch and always comes in clutch for the Rockets. But Alperen Sengun is definitely most improved. He improved so much since last year. I think I'm done. Thanks for listening to Dugging It Out. And we will see you next week.
Bye.